This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Genesis 11:7. And if you don't mind, I want to fly through the verses because there's a lot of them. But if we don't... baptism of the Holy Spirit. The reason we're doing this and we have to go be so thorough... And by the way, John, you got this, didn't you? Came to the healing room. John, you got a healing in your leg. How's your leg still?
Good.
You got born again, and you got baptized in the Spirit, all in the healing rooms. I'm so glad you're here, John. This is right where you needed to be this weekend. Genesis 11:7 says, this is where, I don't have time to go into the whole story, but these people in ancient times in the book of Genesis here, they built the Tower of Babel. And they were trying to build something to heaven. And they were trying to, it was like the unity of nations. It was like the unity the best man had, okay? Interestingly, that's what the World Trade Center was. God says, we have to go down there and scatter this thing. That doesn't mean God brought down the World Trade Center, okay? But they were in some folly. The UN and, you know, the brotherhood of all countries and nations without God is folly, you know? Without God involved. They're trying to build a tower to heaven. And God said, come let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And that's what he did. He confused their speech so that no man understood another man, and it scattered them all over the place. Now, maybe he was like wise enough to... We're in Genesis 11, verse 7. Maybe he was wise enough to like scatter their speech in groups so that they'd have some community. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that's what he did. And supposedly that is then how nations started to become formed with different languages. But God did this in a supernatural thing, and it caused them to not be able to finish this tower. And they were trying to build a tower up to God. And they were, that wasn't their only problem. They were Babylonians. They were without God. They were wicked people. And so before that, there was a unified speech. And I believe when God did this, also notice that he said, come let us go down. That's him and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so the thing is I believe God had said in the back of his mind, there will be a unified speech again one day. So God has dreams. He has visions for man. If you go now to, by the way, you can't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit unless you are born again. That is the requirement to be filled with the Spirit. You must have received Jesus Christ. In other words, the blood of Christ prepares the way for the filling of the Spirit. And you can't get confused on this. Getting born again actually gives you a measure of the Spirit, a limited measure in your heart. But it isn't enough for... It isn't enough for the power of God fully on. Some of you have heard me say this before. Being born again is fire insurance. You're not going to burn when you're born again. All right? But it isn't go win the loss kind of... It doesn't help you go win the loss, so to speak. Jesus said, all right, you disciples... I'm going back to heaven, and there is a promise of the Spirit, and I need you to go wait in Jerusalem to get it. And I don't want you to do anything but go wait in Jerusalem for it. And my Father is going to give you this. I'm going to send the Spirit. When I get back to heaven, I will send you the Spirit. Do not fulfill the Great Commission. Do not do anything unless you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, you see, the church Many in the church have made that out all one experience, to be born again, to be baptized in the Spirit. But in John 20, it says that he breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." But that was the precursor. That was getting the heart ready. See, that was the new birth. He got them all born again. And then after that, he said, "Now, you go wait in Jerusalem." And you know how many people set out in their ministries without going and waiting and receiving the promise of the Father, which is, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." So who's all? How many could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? All flesh. How many could be born again? Yeah. Well, be careful, because there's people in Christianity that believe in something called predestination, and they believe that you won't be saved unless you're one of God's chosen to be saved. But my Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. My Bible says that God desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. All men. None left out. That includes women too. So that predestination, they got some scriptures they base that on, but I believe it's false. God loves everybody, and God wants everybody saved. Moving on, Isaiah 28, and where it's right in the middle of the Bible. See, we're kind of like building a case. God's the judge. I'm the lawyer. The devil's the prosecutor. And you sitting in this room is the jury. Isaiah 28. Here's God's vision again that I brought up about the Tower of Babel. That may one day they'll all use the same language again. Look at this, 11. "For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest.'" Oh my goodness. Being filled with the Spirit is so refreshing to your soul. It is so refreshing. But notice that it sounds funny. Because God says it sounds like stammering lips. You see? Listen to me, everyone. Kula basoto mahosa katabotona masapo kota labakada manono sata bakada. See, some of you, it's the first time you ever heard me do that. But I do that many, many times a day, every day. And when I'm alone, I do it. You know what Paul said? He said, in Corinthians, he says, "I would that you all prophesy," he says, "and speak in tongues." He says, "I pray in tongues more than all of you." Paul said, "I pray in tongues more than all of you." And that's Paul talking to the church, of which you're the church. And Paul is saying, and guess how many books of the Bible? You want to know the benefit of speaking in tongues more than everybody? He wrote 16 books of the New Testament. He outshined, although he wasn't trying to, he outshined every disciple. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter. Peter was the most famous of the disciples. And Paul totally left him in the dust in his revelations and in his understanding. And those two men even had a fight once. You can read about it in the book of Acts. It wasn't so big, but Paul rebuked Peter. He said, "You're doing that wrong." And Peter humbled himself, says, "You're right. You talk. I stand back." You know, that's the way Peter was. That's the humility of people in the kingdom that are real believers, is they can be taught and they can be rebuked, you know? So, stammering lips. John 7. Go to John 7. See, Many denominations will tell you that there is no such thing as the baptism of the Spirit, and tongues is of the devil. That's what they tell you. Then why did God say do it? Because, you know what? This is my attitude. Wait, look up here at me for a minute. Let God be true and every man a liar. So if that denomination of men is teaching tongues is of the devil, and God's saying do it, let God be true and every man a liar. You know what? You don't need professors of theology to interpret your Bible for you when God intended for you to study it yourself and take it at face value. That's the earmark of who I am and what my ministry is and how I've lived my life for 30 years. Is I started seeing the Bible, was going, that's not, I was a Lutheran. I started looking in the Bible and it wasn't what they were teaching me. And I said, no, thank you very much. I'll take the manual, the owner's manual. You know, John 7. Verse 37 to 39, and I'm going to have Skittles read it.
On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water."
Amen. Read the next verse.
Okay. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified."
Oh. Now, that is so simple, you need help to misunderstand it. You know? One more time. Look at it. 39. He spoke of the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. See the requirement? You got to believe in Jesus first before you can get Jesus' Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. That's why he says, "I will baptize you in my Spirit." These three guys hang out, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they are all one. And the Holy Spirit comes down here to us, and he's their agent. And Jesus said at one point, the Father and I both will tell him what he is to tell you. So when you get the Holy Spirit, you've got a representative of the Father and Jesus right there, and he brings them both to you. And then in another place, Jesus says, "Any man that I come to, I stand at the door of his heart and I knock. And when he opens the door, I will come in and I will sup with him." The Father and I will both come in and sup with him. Supper. He will have a... See, there's nothing like eating together that creates fellowship on the earth. Did you know that? Did you ever notice you don't eat with your enemies? You don't even eat with people you don't like much. But if you will eat with somebody at the same table, you are literally doing an intimate thing. And Jesus says, the Father and I will, you open the door of your heart, the Father and I will come in, and we will eat supper with you all the time. And the supper will be our words to you. It'll be bread from heaven. And so, but the Holy Spirit is the one that brings the Father and Jesus in you in the measure that they want to be in you. You see, their vision is to be in you to overflowing. That's their vision. And it's like, oh, well, let's just get with the vision here, you know? And so, one more thing. Look at 38. "He who believes in me, the scripture has said, out of his heart." Did you know the old King James says, out of his belly? There are some words that are interchangeable in the Bible, depending on which translation you're using. Here's the words that are interchangeable. It covers this area from about your neck down to your groin. Huh? Yeah, but here's the scriptural words. Spirit, right here. Heart, right here. Belly, right here. Core, right here. Your core, your belly, your heart, your spirit. Those are all interchangeable words. They are not your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Those are all here. These do not get born again. Your mind does not get born again. This down here gets born again. That's why when you get born again and you keep sinning, like you keep drinking, you have big sin in your life, using drugs, whatever the person's doing, adultery, whatever the person's doing, okay? But you've been born again. See, that's possible to get born again and keep sinning. Doesn't mean you're not born again anymore. It means you're a sinful Christian. That's all it means. Because God is big enough to save you in spite of your sins, okay? So that doesn't mean you ever have to get born again after you've gone through a bunch of sin, okay? But here's the problem. When you're sinning, you're conflicted. If you're a sinning Christian, you know what you are? You're conflicted. You are conflicted in who you are because your spirit, which is born again, is at war with your unredeemed sinful soul. And you're miserable. You're conflicted. Every day you get up, you hate yourself. You're at war with yourself. You're miserable for what you're doing. And all God's saying is, hey son, let's have your spirit and your mind. Let's get it into agreement with one another. This is incorruptible right here. This doesn't sin down here. The sin takes place here and in your body. You know? Your body and your mind is what sins. Okay. So, out of your... Now, Jesus says in 38, out of his heart or belly will flow rivers of living water. Okay, look at this. Look at me. Guess what? This just came out of here. That comes out of here. How could it come out of here? You know? That all the believers filled with the Spirit speak in tongues. You know? Some will try to teach you that there's no tongues. There doesn't have to be tongues with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the way the apostles taught. The apostles didn't believe someone was filled until they heard them speak in the tongues. You see? I'll show that to you in a minute. And what I'm trying to say to you is, here's God's dream. Everyone baptized in the Spirit is speaking the same language again. Nobody understands it, but we're all speaking the same language because it's a language of heaven. It's a unity language of heaven. And there's two kinds of tongues. There's one that's prayer language, and that's the one I'm showing you right now. And then there's the one that they did on Pentecost, where every man was speaking in someone's known language, and they heard them speak, and they understood them, and it was a great miracle. You see? That's the other kind of tongues. It's called diverse tongues. We're not here to get that right now. We're here to study about the unknown tongue. Because the unknown tongue, no man knows it but God. You see? For some reason I have 1 Corinthians 14. I don't remember. I know we're going there, but I don't know why I've got it here now. 1 Corinthians 14. Okay. This is the Apostle Paul. And he's quoting that, remember the one about stammering lips in Isaiah? Paul is re-quoting 1 Corinthians 14:21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me. With men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me. So, this is, remember, this is God's dream. And so, Paul repeats it. Paul repeats it back here to make his point in this one. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 1. We're already in Corinthians. All right. Verse 17, Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made no effect." Verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." You're going to do, you know what? You're going to do some things that are awfully foolish to the world. When you speak in tongues, that's one of them. Real foolish. And notice it's foolish to the people that don't know God, to those who are perishing. But it's not foolish to us in the fellowship of the kingdom, to us who are brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's like it's not foolishness to you or to God. 1 Corinthians 2. You know, this is a great Bible lesson here, aside from receiving the baptism of the Spirit, for revelation right here. Just for general revelation. 1 Corinthians 2:5, it says that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Think about it. What if someone told you that everything you needed to believe had to be reasonable to the worldly mind?
Well, if I may, that's answered in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent."
Thank you. That's very good. That your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Mm-hmm. And yet, there's seminaries. I don't mean to be disrespectful here, but we call them cemeteries. There are seminaries where people will tell you how you should believe, and everything has to fit. They have to be able to calculate it out. It has to, on a chalkboard, it has to all fit mathematically, logically, reasonably, and it's like God saying, "No way. You stay away from men if they have to make me, God, fit in a box." Because we're going to be foolish. And with our foolish, like, we're going to just lay hands on people and they're going to get well. It doesn't work every time, okay? But we're practicing. And since the doctors can say they're practicing, we can say we're practicing. Because the doctors have medical practices, you know? And so we can lay hands on the sick and get them well. We can speak in tongues and be speaking in a heavenly language that only God understands. We don't even understand what we're saying. So we can be foolish. We can do a lot of foolish stuff, you know? But there are denominations built on not accepting this material I'm teaching to you right now, on denying this material. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that if you jump out off the cliff in faith and say, "Whatever you have, God, that's what I want, and I'll be as foolish as you want me to be," you know, then I'll get everything God has for me. Mark 16. I love this scripture. Jesus here in Mark 16, verse 15, is giving a description of what it's going to be like when people are baptized in the Spirit. And he's got a list here. And he says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues.'" That's the unknown tongue or the diverse tongue, either one. "And these will be signs." Speaking in tongues is a sign to people. Did you know that? Either way. The unknown tongue or the diverse tongue. Either of them is a sign to people. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. One of you remind me to read this tonight when we're talking about the glory. Would one of you remind me to read Mark 16 tonight?
One of me will.
You know why? Because the glory won't let a serpent kill you. The glory won't let poison kill you. The glory of God. And there's examples in the Bible. We need to look at that later tonight when we're everybody's present. And I need to talk about it a little bit. But notice on the list is speaking in tongues. Jesus said, you will speak with new tongues. The people who believe, but that means first they must entreat and receive and open their hearts and minds to the baptism of the Spirit. And John G. Lake, who had one of the greatest healing ministries of the 20th century, he said that for the first 10 years, he had an evangelistic ministry, and he wasn't filled with the Spirit, and he was doing evangelistic ministry. And you know what? He said that he hardly got any healings. And then he received the baptism of the Spirit, and then he says people start getting healed all over the place after he was filled with the Spirit. Well, that would fit right here. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. And they will. And at the very end it says, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after them the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And then turn to Acts 1. See, we're having an adventure here before breakfast in the Bible. We've already been in time back to the Tower of Babel. Now we're all the way up to the book of Acts. This will go fast here because the rest, most everything else is in Acts. Acts 1, Jesus said, and then be assembled together with them. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him... Okay, I'm not going to read that part. I just wanted you to see verse 5. John truly baptized with the water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's reminding them. And then look at verse 8. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. So, when do you receive the power? When the Holy Ghost comes on you is when you receive power. It doesn't mean you didn't have any power, but before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't have the power to overcome sin. Totally. Before you're baptized in the Spirit, you don't have the power to do supernatural signs and wonders like lay hands on people and stuff. Before you get baptized in the Spirit, you don't have the power enough. You can a little bit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit helps you understand Scripture 10 times as well. 100 times as well. Because it says when He comes, He will lead you into all truth. He will be your teacher. But you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Then if you go Acts 2, it just says, Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they're all in one accord in one place. Notice they're in one accord. That means they're in unity. I heard a preacher say, oh, they all fit into a Honda? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And I said, Lord, why don't we see that anymore? And one time the Holy Spirit said to me, how do you know it's not there? Just because you can't see it? but you could see these tongues of fire sitting on their heads. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that's really cool. There it is. And then they heard down in verse 8, how is it we hear each in our own language in which we were born? This is called diverse tongues. It's where people hear you in their own language. We could do that today, but it's like the unknown tongue is the common thing that what God wants to give everybody. It's kind of a basic entry into the things of the Spirit is the unknown tongue. If you look at 2:17, it was prophesied for us. And it came to pass in the last days that I pour out my... Verse 16 says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last days, says God, that I pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I pour out my spirit in those days. And they will show, and they shall prophesy. And I shall wonders in heavens above and signs in earth beneath. And that's all we're going to read right there. So this goes back to the book of Joel, what happens here in the book of Acts with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see something. I'm not teaching about getting tongues. I'm teaching about getting a person inside of you to fill you. You see? You see what I mean? Picture, look up here for a minute. Picture turning on a tap and holding a glass under it. And letting the water come up halfway and then turn off the water. That's what the new birth is like. All right? Picture that in your mind. And now, a little while later, come back with that half a glass of water. Hold it under there. Turn on the tap. Now picture it going like this off the top. Picture it going like this out of the top. Just, in other words, there's too much water for the glass to hold. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like. There is, and it's like he's already in here when you got born again, but he's in a smaller measure. And then when you receive the baptism of the Spirit, the reason tongues goes with it is so that he can be released out of here, up into here. You release him out of here, up into here. Paul said, sometimes pray that you can interpret what you're saying. Sometimes you'll see me when I'm ministering by a gift of the Holy Spirit and I'm going to give a word to somebody. I might pray in tongues for a minute. And then when I'm all done praying in tongues, I have something to say to them. Because I just got what I was going to say to them out of the here. See? And I'll show you that in a minute. We'll see a verse on that. I just want you to see Acts 2:32. And 33. This Jesus, this is Peter talking. He says, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received the promise from the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured this out, which you now see and hear. Okay. There are churches and denominations that will tell you there's no tongues with the Holy Spirit, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Peter's saying that this baptism of the Holy Spirit, you now see and hear it. You now see and hear it. If the people that get it are quiet, you don't get to see and hear it. You don't get to visual and audio, okay? So that's just a little clue right there. And that's Acts 2, 32 and 33. Go to Acts 2, 38. And it says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord will call. And many, okay, to all who are far off and as many as the Lord will call. All right? There's another group in the Christian church that says the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongues was only for the apostles. And you can go, wait a minute, your logic's unsound. There are 120 present that got it. Those weren't all apostles. You see? You go, yeah, okay, well, but still, the whole gift went away with the apostles anyway. It's no longer for everybody on earth. It isn't for the whole earth. It isn't for Americans, you know. And you know what? That's false doctrine. Because look at that verse. It says, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call, that's who's supposed to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, what if you didn't live in that generation? You're still going to get called by God into the kingdom. What if you didn't live on that continent? He says, as Peter says, it's for many who are far off. And guess what? You couldn't even come to America to share the baptism of the Holy Spirit till Columbus sailed over here, right? And discovered it. So that means this transfers into future generations, and that means this transfers into all continents, because it's for those who are far off, as many as God will call.
Yeah, and it doesn't say as many as God will call during this generation.
Right.
As many as God will ever call.
Right. Why would God equip them with the Holy Spirit and tongues, which is a beautiful gift, and not give it to modern man?
Right.
That's stupid. And God isn't stupid. That's a stupid idea of the devil to try to... You know, the devil has worked so hard to discourage this gift. You know why we take so much time here to help you receive it? You want to know why? Because we have to unteach what other people have taught about it. We have to get it all, we have to get all these scriptures out in the open. Acts 10:38. Jesus got baptized in the Spirit on the day of His water baptism. Did you know that? Did you know that the Son of God had to be baptized in the Spirit to fulfill His ministry? There isn't one recorded miracle before He was 30 years old. Okay? Did you know that? And then when He's 30 years old, He got baptized in the Spirit. And then His miracle started. Look what it says in Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Oh, when did the power come? When He got the Holy Spirit. Not the water baptism. When He got the Holy Spirit baptism, the power came. Who went about then doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How was God with him? Through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see? Jesus, this is where a lot of denominations also take a wrong turn. They think Jesus was deity on earth. They think He floated above the ground. He didn't have to eat or drink or anything. They think He was inhuman. They make Him out like a ghost. Jesus used the toilet. Jesus spilled food on His robe at dinner. It only says He never sinned. It doesn't say He wasn't human. He sweated.
He sneezed.
He wept. He sneezed. He never was sick. But He was killable with a spear and with some nails. Okay? But here's the thing. He wasn't who we needed Him to be until He got filled with the Spirit. And then He said to us before He left, the works that I did, you will all do too, because I'm going back to the Father. But you wait in Jerusalem to get the baptism of the Spirit. That's what He said to them. See? So if you want to walk the true path of Jesus, you got to get baptized in the Spirit. Okay. Acts 10:44. When Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Okay, these are apostles with Peter, and the apostles are saying, aha, they got the gift of the Holy Spirit because we are hearing them speak with tongues and magnify God. So we are hearing them speak with tongues. There, the apostles had to hear the tongues in order to believe that somebody got the Holy Spirit. That's my template. That's the way I do ministry. You see what I mean? Now, a person could be filled with the Spirit and not speak in tongues. That's their choice. But the sign that you got it is the speaking in tongues. You see? Again, it isn't all about receiving tongues. It's all about receiving the Spirit. The Spirit is a person. You don't want to elevate tongues to a place of worship or a place of idolatry of God Himself, you know? Tongues is your tool. Tongues is like using your telephone, you know? What do we do without these? I'm telling you, as critical as this is to your flesh, tongues is to your soul and spirit. You understand that? Don't be left in right field without unequipped. You know what? The devil is much more powerful than an unsaved person. The devil is much more powerful than a sinful Christian. But to a Christian who gets filled with the Spirit, right now, when you get filled with the Spirit, you're a much bigger spirit than the devil. And he has to hightail it when you start rebuking and say, no, get out of here, shut up. He has to run. But, you know, there was this example. There's a guy that comes and visits our church. His name is Mahesh Shabda. And when he was younger, he's a big faster. He was filled with the Spirit. He was doing a missionary thing once. And he was preaching one night in Africa, and these witch doctors, about 100 of them, had gathered under this great big supernatural, mystical, evil tree. That was their place of worship of the devil. And they were doing voodoo and everything they knew, and curses and spells to try to stop him over in his crusade. He was 7 miles away. And he stood up in the pulpit and he could sense them over there doing that 7 miles away. He knew they were going to do it, but he could sense it. And so finally he goes, enough is enough, stop it! This is out of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? A bolt of light traveled 7 miles. It was seen by people. When it hit the tree burst into flames. And it was a huge oak tree. It was enormous. That tree burned so hot and so fast, it burnt the tree down to a nub about this tall. Get this. Those that were under it, most of them died. It was so explosive and fast. Most of them died. They were coming against the man of God. The next night, one of the guys came in that was near that tree, and he had witnessed the whole thing. And he was still an evil witch doctor. He still was full of demons. And he came in, and he says, who's that? And they said, well, that's the man of God that burnt the tree. And he goes, no, I don't mean him. Who's behind him? The evil doctor could see the spirit in the man. He says, who's the very, very, very big spirit that's behind it? That's what I want to know. And Mahesh is filled with the Spirit. There's only one spirit in him and behind him. And it was the Holy Spirit. And so we talk about the glory, how big it is. It can be more than 7 miles long, the glory. And you don't mess with men of God. You do not mess with men of God. You could get eaten by bears. You could get burnt by fire from heaven. I mean, don't mess with men of God. And you are all men of God. You see what I mean? And when you walk into the fullness, Acts 11, Now when the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. See, you see, we're the Gentiles here. And how did they receive the word of God? They received what it was said. They received the baptism of the Spirit, and they had an evidence of speaking in tongues. And that's how they received the word of God. The Gentiles received the word of God, of which we are. John 20, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus got him born again in John 20. Here's one, Romans 8. It's right after Acts. We're on the home stretch. We're on the home stretch. Romans 8. Thank you. 26 to 27. Here's a description of tongues. It says, verse 26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How would you like it when you don't know how to pray for yourself? All you got to do is pray in tongues and let the Holy Spirit say the words that God needs to hear for you. Isn't that cool? And it talks about groanings. My wife and I get together sometimes, or by ourselves, and we pray like this sometimes. We're groaning. In fact, more specifically, you know what we're doing? We're doing birth travail. The Apostle Paul said in the Bible, my little children, whom I am travailed in birth for you, till Christ was formed in you. In other words, someone over here that you don't even know could have been travailing in birth in the Spirit, and you, on March 17, got born again by someone over here travailing in birth with their tongues. You see? So, when we don't know what we should pray for, maybe God's saying, you pray in tongues for 10 minutes now. What if He wakes you in the night? You pray in tongues for 10 minutes. Okay, Lord, I don't know why. I don't even know what I'm going to say. And the Holy Spirit says, groan a little now. Someone just didn't commit suicide because of you somewhere. You see how big the kingdom is? You see how big it is? Somebody just...
I can tell you why it's big, and that's in verse 28.
Okay.
We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose.
Amen. And a lot of people will quote that scripture. In fact, that scripture is written on their gazebo out there.
Oh, wow.
Just the first part of it,
yeah,
with the where it's found. Unfortunately, a lot of people quote that scripture just by itself. Guess what? It has to be tied to the tongues.
Right, exactly.
In other words, you can't get the goodwill. Everything doesn't always work for good to those who love God. Sometimes missionaries get martyred. They die. Sometimes bad things happen, you know? And it doesn't. You can't put that verse by itself. But when you put it with the tongues, then it makes sense. Because God is strategizing. He's working things out. He's causing someone to give legal access into the earth through their tongues, and then He's able to work it all for the good. You see? That's so clear. Well, thank you for bringing that up. It pays to have a smart person nearby, but don't let that go to your head.
You saw what He did to the wise.
the secret, if you are smart, I'm a smart person, okay? I'm not being arrogant. I just know that I'm a smart person. And in my first several years of Christianity, it was my boon to be a smart person. It was in my way. I had to transfer from Greg the idol to God my Lord. You see what I mean? I had to learn how to not figure things out with Greg's mind. And I had to learn how to be a little dumb. Like, Lord, I think I know the answer, but what do you think? And he might say, it's what you were thinking, but I'm glad, thank you for asking. You know? And so, John Lake had a brilliant mind. John G. Lake, the missionary with the great ministry who raised the dead, and he did, had 500,000 healings that got written up in medical volumes in Spokane, Washington. You know what? He said, if you got a great mind, you've got to submit it to God and put it in God's hands. Once you do that, He's so great. God is so happy you have a great mind, because He can use you and your great mind, as long as it's not getting in God's way. See, John Lake had such a brilliant mind. He used to sit with great worldly men of the day. Like, one of his good buddies was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And they used to sit around, and John Lake used to witness to him. And he was a devilish man, and he used to try to win John Lake over to Spiritism, which is, you know, talking to the dead and stuff. God says stay away from that stuff. So John Lake was trying to get him to be a born-again, Spirit-filled believer. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, by the way, the author of...
Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
And one of my relatives.
Yeah. Well, you're saved. I love his stories, though. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Paul says, are you there? 1 Corinthians 12. One. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So if you haven't studied this, you're still ignorant. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. 8 through 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another the different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All right. There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given, and the gift of tongues is one of them. And it's really the first one. See? It's the most basic one. They all build on it. And by the way, if you want to operate in the higher gifts, which are very supernatural, like healing and knowing things about people, you must first enter this doorway of tongues, because that's how I got to some of the things I do, is I first got this gift of tongues and I stewarded it. Does anyone know what steward means?
Good management.
Good management, see? Because God says if you're faithful over little, He'll make you ruler over much. So I got this gift of tongues and I managed it. I didn't think I had it for a few weeks. But God says, no, keep practicing. And the more I practiced, the more fluent it got. Because it's kind of like you're a baby when you first started. And it sounds like baby talk, you know? And it's like, but it develops fast. It's a faith thing. I believe I receive it, Lord. And now, don't let the devil come in and say, you didn't get it. You don't have it. There's nothing to what he's teaching. Listen, the reason I took you through all the scriptures is so that you could say, there is something to what he's teaching. Especially when you're not with me anymore and next week and the devil's there in your face. You can say, shut up, Satan. God said, be baptized in the Holy Spirit and receive other tongues. And He said it, I saw it, it was his vision. He talked about stammering lips. He took away their tongues when they were building the Tower of Babel. I know the Apostle Paul said it, Peter said it, all the apostles said it. Shut up, Satan. The word says, get out of here. You're a liar, Satan. 28 to 29, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. Actually, let's skip all of it and go to verse 30. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Okay, the answer to this question is no. Not all have gifts of healings. Not all speak with tongues. Not all interpret. But guess what? This is a disparity, a discrepancy, because the apostles seem to think everybody had to speak in tongues in the book of Acts. And now Paul's saying, do all have tongues? No. Here's the simple one to that. Not everybody has diverse tongues. The ones where you speak Russian when you've never been taught Russian and a Russian person hears you. By the way, whenever that gift manifests, by the way, guess what you're saying in Russian? God is great. Jesus is Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit has you say in another person's language. It's usually never, would you bring me some milk and bread, you know? It isn't anything. It is when you start speaking in another person's known language by a miracle. My wife used to have a route to convenience stores where she'd go in and supply something to them. And whenever she went in this, she's just a big, full of the Spirit woman. She's not big, but she's a full of the Spirit woman. She's a wonderful woman. And this is before I even married her, and we weren't even going out or anything. She would be praying in tongues all day on this route. But she said when she walked into the convenience store that was owned by the Chinese, she said she definitely recognized as she walked through their store under her breath that she was using Chinese. Now, she never did go up to them and start doing it to their face, but she could tell something switched in her to Chinese. And if it had been interpreted, they probably would have heard her talking about Jesus. So get it clear in your mind, that's diverse tongues. You might do that once or twice in your whole life, or you might never do that. That's why Paul says, not all do that. But there's another tongue called unknown tongues. Everybody's supposed to do that. Everybody. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13. We're right there. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become as sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If you become a tongue talker, don't be a rude person. Don't be an ornery, mean person, because your tongues sound to God like a clanging brass that doesn't sound like good music at all. Okay? Love is the greatest gift you can receive from God. Love. If you get filled with the Spirit and you do not become a new, greater, loving person, forget the gift of tongues. Throw it out. Love is everything. Okay? And look at 14. Look at 14. This is where I want you to be with me right now. Look at this. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Well, listen, if you don't get tongues, you're never going to be a good prophesier. You understand me? So, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now look at this, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Okay, think about it. Obviously, you're not speaking in someone's own language because there's no one on earth that can understand you. He just said it right here. See? So he's talking about this unknown tongue. Does everyone get what I'm saying? Okay. But what are you saying? What are you saying? It's the last word of the verse, too. What are you saying?
Speaks mysteries.
Okay. When you speak in tongues, this unknown tongue, there's mysteries in what you're saying that you need to know. Do you think there's anything God doesn't know? So there is nothing you can say is a mystery to God. So God wants you to speak mysteries out of here, and every once in a while, He throws you back the meaning of one. Isn't that simple? But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Paul is just saying prophesying is better than tongues, because you can help people with it. He's saying he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Don't think of that as an evil thing, though. Aren't you important? You need to be edified. Right? Who knows what edify means?
Educated.
No, it means build up.
Oh.
How'd you know that?
Doesn't it specifically build up in knowledge? Maybe?
No, it's like encouraged.
Okay.
You're breathing the Spirit into somebody by edifying them, you know. He who speaks in a tongue edify. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Did you hear Paul? Look at 5. It says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets it, that the church may receive edification. So what Paul's saying is that prophecy is better than tongues, but if it gets interpreted, it's equal to prophecy. If your tongues get interpreted, then it's equal to prophecy. It's as good as prophecy. You see? So that was verse 2. Verse 27. Same chapter. We don't need to read that one. That's not when I... look at 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. So, once you have your prayer language, you might be praying in tongues, and then in your morning prayer devotional time, and then go, hey Lord, would you mind sharing with me anything I just said? I'll take one word, Lord. You know? I'll take one word of it. What, or a phrase. Throw me a bone. Now, look at 14. Look at 14. For if I pray in a tongue... Wait a minute. Isn't it the Holy Spirit praying through us in a tongue? Look at me, everyone. Isn't it the Holy Spirit praying through me when I speak in tongues?
Mm-hmm.
Look at 14 again. For if I pray in a tongue, comma, let me ask it again. Who's speaking in tongues? You. I. This is where the Christians mess this up. This is where the Christians don't receive. When you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak them. You speak them. It's a faith thing. Isn't that simple? My spirit prays, see? Is that the Holy Spirit that prays, or is that His Spirit that prays? His Spirit. But my understanding is unfruitful. Can you live with not having to know what you're saying? Can you live with that? Can you throw reason out the window for a while? Huh? Do you think you could live with that? I love it. I love it that my spirit can do something my mind doesn't get in on. I love it. Because my mind just screws everything up. Okay? Look at it. It says, what is the result then? I will pray, verse 15, I'll pray at the Spirit, and I also pray at the understanding. Does that mean you, when you get the Holy Spirit to pray in the Spirit, you're going to throw out prayers in English altogether? No. Look at it. He says, I pray in the Spirit, and I pray at the understanding. I will sing in the Spirit, and I also sing with the understanding. You see? Did you know you could sing in tongues? It's like, Ushala tata honana namato koso sanda tata bonala kandana nama. I just made up a song to God. I just gave it a lyric, a tune, a melody. That's what Paul's talking about. It's a beautiful thing to walk through a forest, pray in English for a few minutes, and then pray in tongues. And then, when you think you haven't raptured enough, put a melody to it. That's what Paul's saying. I pray with the Spirit. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. So, when you pray, my Spirit prays. You get that? I'm closing my Bible. When I pray in tongues, why don't we all stand up? Gilbert, could you close that window over there? Hallelujah, Lord. We just release the glory in here. We just release the glory of Jesus, the glory of the Father. You want to know how nice I am? You want to know how nice I am? I'm so concerned about your feelings that I'm going to let you speak in tongues where it's drowned out so none of your friends here can hear you. You see? But, hallelujah. 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 In fact, who's never spoken tongues here? You too, Dale, right? You did it, but have you continued it?
A little bit.
Little bit. You got to. Would you guys make a line right here? You, John. You don't have to, but I want you, Dale. Dale, you don't have to, but I should. But you should. Praise God. You see, what we're doing here is like a piece of business with God. We're doing a transaction with God. You know? It's something He said He wants us to all do. And it isn't really about speaking in tongues. It's about receiving the Spirit. So, nobody will make you speak in tongues. You don't have to speak in tongues. Okay? Maybe you want to do it next month. But here's an opportunity. I don't teach this very often. You know? Might be a year. You know? And you can do a lot of damage to yourself in a year. You know? Without the gifts that God has. Can you put your Bible down? Why don't you put your Bible down a minute?
Oh, okay.
Because I just want you, I want you guys to be free. Let's go like this. Just go like this. Father, thank you, Jesus. Just fill here, Lord. Fill each one, Lord. Fill each one with your Spirit, Lord. Fill each one with your Spirit. Overflow. Fill each one with your Spirit. Just fill each one with your Spirit. Just fill. And John, you, this is like a refill that you already have. You've already done this. Now, you know what, guys? You can enter into this with the first words imitating something I'm saying. See, God doesn't care how you do it. You know, just go like this. Just imitate softly to yourself. Just imitate. But it, let the breath do it from the stomach. Okay? And just imitate something I'm saying. Oh, ta, oh, ka, oh, pa, asha, oh, ma. Remember, God warned you, you're going to feel like a fool. That's the best way to be. You start with a very little vocabulary. This is it. You have it. That's it. Hey, Dale, just let it utter. You have to get your great mind out of the way. Just let it utter like I'm doing. Ah, u, isa, like vowels. Uta, ohoma, ake, asa. The fact that you're doing it is faith. And you're doing it. That's the real thing. Practice it while I leave you there. Go like this, Robert. See, this is it. You're using your faith. Let me hear what I heard months ago. Praise God. Fill him, Lord. Just overflow him. Hey, Al, just go like this. Go. I heard it. Do it again. Trust me. See, that's it. That is tongues. Remember, it's supposed to be foolish to your mind. You're going to go, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? But you know what? Go ahead, imitate me a little bit. You see, that is tongues. Every one of you guys did it. Every one of you guys did it. The apostles, right, if they were here, they would say, you all are speaking in tongues. But let me tell you something now, okay? Let me tell you how this works. I know it sounds like there's conflicting information, but God has given me an analogy that will help you. Okay? A car. The Holy Spirit, you just got filled. I lay my hands on you. The way in the book of Acts was to lay hands on people. I laid hands on you. God filled you. God just filled you. You just got filled. Well, I didn't feel anything, Greg. I know. You got to use faith. You got to have faith in the Word. We taught the Word. Now watch this. Watch this. When a car has an engine, the engine has got the power. Right? All the power is in the engine. Is there any power in the steering wheel? Or in the gas pedal? Or the clutch? Or the gear selector? Okay. Your tongue is all of those things. There's no power in your tongue. The power, when He filled you, He put His engine in you. All right? But you can't, the engine is valueless unless you're willing to turn the ignition, put it in gear, and use that wheel. The power is valueless. You know why? Because when He filled you, that great Holy Spirit came inside this Robert's human spirit. Now, Paul said, when I pray in the Spirit, because that's what tongues is called. It's called praying in the Spirit. Paul said, when I pray in the Spirit, my spirit prays. The Holy Spirit isn't praying. He's only empowering what comes out to be a dynamic release of energy that you need in your life. You see? What you guys need is you need this gift fluent. You need this gift fluent in your life, and that can just be in a few days. You see? And remember, the Holy Spirit in you is the engine. Your tongue is like the steering wheel. That you need to grasp that. The Holy Spirit is not going to grab you like a puppet, shake you, and say, I'm going to talk through you. The Holy Spirit isn't going to do that. He's a gentleman. If you don't want to do something, he just leaves. See? It's Satan who drives you. It's Satan who drives you to evil with a whip behind you. God is in front going, come on. Come on. Baby steps. You know, that's God. That's how God is. He will never drive you. Satan will drive you. Your Heavenly Father will lead you. See? Now, let's raise our hands. This is, you know, tongues is worship, because you're getting to say, even if it's baby talk, you're getting to make God proud, you know, and say some things to Him. And you know what? Every one of you uttered a few utterances, and those are faith. Those are faith. You used your faith. That's how this thing works. See, that's great, Dale. That's great. Pour something out of down here out. Yeah, just bypass your mind. Pour something out of down here in your gut. You're doing it. You're doing it. Praise God. Your son here, Lord. Your son. This is your son, Lord. You love him, Lord. You love Al. You're proud of him, Lord. By the way, this is that song that the Holy Spirit showed me from Mark that bathed him in the blood. This is Mark's favorite song now. Listen to this. Come on, let the Spirit just bathe you in what this song is saying. Hallelujah. Close your eyes. Raise your hands here. Hallelujah. Grace like rain. The rain of the Holy Spirit is just falling on us right now. Hallelujah. All my space. All your stains are washed away. All your stains are washed away. Been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun.